produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to the living room, the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. I'm your host, Juliette Davis, and I'm so glad that you decided to join us today. Listen, I've got two things to share off the top. The first is just want to say to everyone listening that we are living in unprecedented times, and with the impact of COVID-19, I just want you to know that we are sensitive to the way in which this has upended the lives of many, and that our goal today is to bring some S-O-N light into your day. Second thing I want to say is that I want to take a moment to dedicate today's show to my dad, Johnny Frank Bowden. He is someone who indeed left a mark that cannot be erased. He was a hardworking, dedicated dad who loved his children, all four of us, and raised us to believe that we could do anything that we put our minds to do. And this is something that he lived. After a courageous battle against bladder cancer for the past 3 years, he made heaven his home last month, and I miss him already tremendously, but I am honored to continue his legacy. And part of his legacy was spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so today's show is dedicated to him. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know what we do. Get your iPad, your iPhone, your Bible. Pull up a chair because you have been invited into the living room. Today, our guest is someone who is making a mark in spreading the gospel in his own way and keeping it real while he's doing it. His name is Charles Perkins, but his listeners know him as Charlie P. He's a radio co-host of the Truth Network's Bridging the Gap, the hottest urban gospel radio station in the Triad. And for my international listeners, the Triad is Greensboro, High Point, and Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He is an electrical engineer by trade, a native of Richmond, Virginia. Pretty impressive resume as it relates to his electrical engineering experience. But probably the most important thing about him that I want you to know is that he authentically loves Jesus Christ. Charlie P., welcome to the living room.
Hey, how are you? I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you are so welcome. Listen, there is so much ground to cover, so we're going to get at it. The first thing that I wanted to talk to you about is your relationship with Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and how you made a conscious decision to develop that as an adult. Full disclosure, I know Charlie P. from a long time ago. our families fellowshipped together at the same church, and I even taught the young adult Sunday school class, I guess you could call it, many years ago. But today, I just want to hear about you as a young man. You know, what was the draw to make you develop a real relationship with Christ in your adult years?
Okay, so first, I would say for a point of reference, you know, I was always raised in the church, right? And so there's a difference between, you know, kind of being raised in the church and then experiencing God for yourself. And
okay,
so,
great.
You know, with me, there were, you know, what really brings me, well, I guess what initially brought me to God was, you know, I guess a personal experience that, you know, something I went through in high school. It was really, it was a breakup. It was a heartbreak. And that initially started the hunger for God. Then, you know, I went off to college and, I wouldn't say I didn't really turn away, but you know, I lived college life, you know, I entertained the more carnal and fleshly side. Not so much as, you know, going to church as often. And then, you know, after I had, or I guess right before I graduated, had another almost life-ending situation. I got into a motorcycle accident, and that, again, definitely drove me closer to God. But, you know, that was around, so that was in 2012. But I would have to say what has lit the fire has been really this past summer. So, you know, I've always wanted to hear the voice of God. I always did. You know, even growing up, I've known that, you know, when it comes to God and, you know, making decisions, that whatever God says, that is something that you can trust, right? You can put your trust in God and know that whatever happens, you know, it's going to be for the best, because, you know, it's God ordained, it's God instructed. And so, over this past summer, I again went through a bit of a tough situation, having to deal with relationships. And I had spoke. I was going through. I try to give the whole fasting thing a shot. And after I had fasted, you know, God didn't answer the questions that I wanted, but He revealed to me other things. And it's kind of weird, because that's, you know, God continued to do that. I remember I talked to my aunt in Charlotte about it, and something that she said, you know, when people fast, you know, normally they're doing it because they want something from God, not because of a relationship. And that's really what God wants. And when she said that, like, something in me just clicked, even though I've been hearing it all my life, right, that God wants that relationship. But it was like when she said it, it really clicked. So I remember, you know, we had a long conversation that night. And when I got off the phone, I was like, all right, God, you know, I want to hear from you, but I'm tired. Talk to me in my dream. So he gave me a dream that night. And, yeah, so he gave me a dream. I woke up that morning. I'm like, all right, God, like, what does this mean? And I heard a voice, and it said, I will lead you as – no, you will lead others as I lead you. And, you know, I'm eyes shut. I'm like, okay. So let's get into this dream. And as we're talking, like 3 minutes kind of in, I kind of got snapped. And, you know, I'm getting excited. I'm like, yo, like, I can hear God's voice. Like, I'm excited. And, I remember my first initial, I was in such a space where it's like I didn't even want to open my eyes, right? I didn't, because I knew if I opened my eyes, that would distract me from God. Anything that I would look at would distract me from God's voice, from the presence of God, right? And I really didn't want that. And so, you know, I kind of walked through that. God was saying, you know, you have to practice, open your eyes. So I did that, and we continued to talk. And that's really what started that. And that's something that, you know, we've been continuing. So, I talked to God, you know, every day. You know, throughout the day, it's unique, because it's like a conversation. You know, say bye. It's like, you know, if I go to sleep, I wake up and we pick up right where we left off. You know, so it's a blessing. It's awesome.
Wow. So what you're saying to us is that Even though you had some twists and turns in your journey, and many of us can attest to that, that mm-hmm. once you began to really seek God, that you got right. a response that really changed your life and changed your direction to the point where you now have this ongoing relationship. And I want to place special emphasis on that because I really believe right. that we have grown as a culture to think that, you know, knowing God is going to church every Sunday and mm-hmm. being a part of a congregation, and it's way more than that. Yes, there is a role as far as the church and being there to be developed and to be groomed as a disciple, but the relationship part is the part that I think right. we miss. And that's the part that's so exciting and so
right.
Full of life. Effervescent is the word that comes to mind. So I want people to hear that in your story. And in that same vein, you know, you host a segment on the radio show, and I had a chance to listen this week
right.
and was really blessed by it. And it's called Life App. And mm-hmm. And I really want you to talk to us about that. Tell us about what is Life Apps and how did that come into being?
Okay, so my segment on the radio show is Life Apps with Charlie P. And during that segment, what I really do, I take scripture and I break it down so that people can correlate it to, you know, their own lives. Because I think that there can often be a disconnect between from what people hear at church or what they hear in the pulpit. They hear something but don't know how to apply it to their own lives, right? And so what I do, especially I wouldn't say my target audience, but I would say a lot of what I can relate to are really with the millennials, right, with younger folks. I've mm-hmm. having, you know, graduating college, you know, in my recent, you know, past, right? And mm-hmm. So understand, like, I understand those struggles. I understand what it's like to be a young adult, right, to really coming into, you know, this life of adulthood, and right. like I said, and life struggles that come with that. And so, I use scripture in order, I would take, you know, different scriptures, various scriptures, and I would basically correlate it to people's lives. So in a sense, it brings Bible to life, which you know, started the name Life App.
Okay.
So applying the word of God.
We think of apps all the time when we think about our phone and we have need to do something. Everything is convenient because it's right there in the apps. I love the name of the segment. And so when you're breaking the word down in a way that people can really understand it and making the Bible come alive, what kind of responses have you gotten from that?
Man, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback on it. I think that one of the biggest, for me, when it came to, I think probably the best way I said, you know, the way I got started with radio back in November, and the way I got connected to the radio was that I guess attend BSF Bible Study Fellowship, which is, I think maybe more people may be more familiar with, like a CBS Community Bible Study. It's mm-hmm. really the same thing. And there was a guy that he hosted a radio show, and he also attended BSF. And, you know, me and him, like, we would have really deep theological conversations about Bible. You know, for me, you know, I'm always doing things, you know, when it comes to Bible, whether it's like I'm constantly listening to different sermons, just constantly being fed, really. And so, you know, I would have these deep conversations with him. And then one day he said, yeah, you know, I host a radio show. I want you to come on as a guest. And, you know, I came on, and after that he asked me to be a co-host. And so one of the things for me that really hits hits the most for me is the feedback, right? It's people calling in and talking about how blessed they are by me being, especially me being a younger man, really spreading my own experiences, because that's all I can talk from. I can only talk from my experiences. I can only talk from my struggles.
Right.
I can only talk from my tests, right? Those are my testimonies,
right.
You know? I had got to a point where I felt like, you know, well, maybe I should tell my testimonies after I go through them, but things that God had revealed was like, nah, like, I have to talk through them as I'm going through them, because
what God has had me in is in a situation where he's showing me, like he's using me as an example of how to walk this walk. You understand? Of how to go up against these very real struggles that people have. And how do you overcome that? How do you use that? How do you stay focused on God? What does it mean to have peace? What does it mean to have faith? How do you increase that? How do you increase your faith, right? Mm-hmm. What are things to identify what takes away, what's like enemies of faith? What can hinder that? How's that tie into depression, fear, all these things, you know, God is pouring in. And it as it's getting downloaded to me, I'm just the throughway, right? I'm just the through path. I don't want people to ever look at me, right? I'm just the vent conducting God's word. Like I'm just directing God's word to whoever needs to hear it. That, you know, and you know, so I think that's one of the biggest things that I guess positive feedback is just hearing from listeners that's calling in, people from Facebook that's following on social media when I live stream, people being blessed by the things that's being said. Not just on the radio, not just, you know, in my segment, but you know, through the whole radio show.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, I know this is something that no matter what age you are, you know, having mm-hmm. the word put in a place and in a manner where it is easy to digest, right? It's broken down in a way that you can really wrap your mind around it, you can comprehend it, you can understand it. It's everything. So I know that is really meeting a huge need out there. Listen, if you are just tuning in, you are in the living room. I'm your host, Juliette Davis, and I'm here with Charlie P. He's talking to us about his experiences as a young man committed to sharing the gospel and also as a radio host. And so you've come in at a great time. So let's continue this conversation. I am really curious about the message to the millennials, because I mm-hmm. know that we live in a culture now where a whole segment of kids who grew up in church really became disenchanted, is a nice word, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in terms of their appreciation or even felt the need to be connected to a church. I've heard mm-hmm. stories about people who have decided that they don't even need church anymore, and have, you know, walked away because of hurt and disappointment and a whole array of things motivated them to do that. And so here you are in a place where you are in that same age group, and you are charged mm-hmm. with and given an assignment to reach people in that age group. Tell us how your journey, how you believe your journey is directly designed to reach those people.
Okay, so first I would say one of the biggest issues that we have, especially as millennials, and not just specifically millennials, but people of our culture, we're susceptible to instant gratification, right? We're in the computer age where we want an answer, we want it now, right? And we can get that answer at the touch of a button, right, at our fingertips, in our phone, in our hands, right? And so, a lot of time going from, I guess, the previous generation to now, there's been such a disconnect, right? There's a disconnect between being able to appeal to the millennials, being able to appeal to this time period, whether it's, you know, being not really of the times, maybe when it comes to their church, right? Of, you know, you walk into a church and it's like you're walking back into the 80s, right? Church doesn't have a website. Church doesn't have, you know, not with the times. They're not technologically focused. And so that is an immediate turnoff to youth, right? To millennials. And so for me, I try to, you know, when we address church, I want to be very clear, right? That church is not needed for your salvation, but it's required mm-hmm. for you to grow in this Christian walk. You can't, there's one thing to be, you know, to study the Bible eisegetically, right? Just being mm-hmm. in your prayer closet. Yes, that's very good. And it is necessary. But at the same time, you have to grow under somebody that's God ordained, that God gives a message to, and through the Holy Spirit to speak to you to grow. that you cannot learn everything about God. Not even you can only learn so much on your own. That's why we go to school, right? That's why we educate ourselves through the public school system, because there are things that we cannot learn by ourselves. There are things that are critical to be learned by somebody that is especially God ordained to do that. So yes, it's very important to get a part of a church. And trust me, like I've lived from East Coast to West Coast all over, so I know the struggle of being able to find a church, right? People have their own standards of what they want in a church, right? They want to have, they want a church that has a great praise team, right? They want to be in a church where it's, 15 minutes from the house. Some people want it 30 minutes from their house, you know, so they're not recognized, right? I know how stressful it is, because you can get somewhere and not be fed, right? Or it's not meeting your own standards. Like for me,
right?
I need to be fed. You understand? Like I need to be somewhere where I need to be fed, because that to me that's most important. But again, everybody has their own standards, and that can sometimes be, you know, it can be stressful, right? And it's like after you go to a church or go to two churches, then it's like, oh well, you know. People, especially the younger generation, will be in their own mind and say, "Well, I guess God doesn't want me to go to church." No, that's not true. You know, God looks at the heart.
Right.
You know what I mean? God looks at your heart, right? What are you willing to do to get a relationship with God? That's what I mean. We can list reasons until we're blue in the face of why to have that relationship with God. If you want to, and catering to the millennials, look at all the positive things that come out of it, especially coming out of college, like, and during a time like now of wanting peace. You understand? Like, you have people that's losing their jobs, but they you can still have peace in that time. But people don't understand that concept, because peace is when you focus on God. You put the focus on God, not on yourself. It's like pride, right? The difference between pride and humility is pride is when you have the focus on yourself. Humility is when the focus is on God. And it works the same way with peace. You can have that peace that surpasses all understanding when you're not having the focus on your own situation, when you don't have the focus on what you currently see right now. So, I mean, God gives that. God gives good wisdom. God gives knowledge. God gives understanding. He gives you things that can – he provides you with the tools for success. And, I mean – like I said, the list goes on and on. Favor, mercy, grace, like there's so many ways to follow God.
Right.
But, you know, I can speak from the fire, but it's like, you know, what I really want is for other people to experience God for themselves, because then the fire in them will spark. Then they'll begin to learn. They'll pick up their own Bible. Why? Because they want to learn more about God. Like, think about it like this, right? If there was a book written about your spouse, about their about their interactions with people and their character, when you read it, I mean, that's exactly what the Bible is. The Bible is God's interaction with people and his character. So in order, like, but you if you want to learn more, you have to read it, and people don't do that. So
yeah. But you know what? I had to let you go, because this is something that I want my listeners to hear. I want you to hear the passion behind this young man who has really truly, you know, yielded his life, and what that passion is bringing forth. You know, we live in a day where people are very pessimistic. They're very much skeptics. And so I wanted them to hear authenticity. I wanted them to hear the real, as it relates to you and your relationship with God. And as I said at the outset, before the show, we definitely are going to have to do a part two, because there are so many other things that I want to engage you about. And we just certainly have run out of time. So I am excited about what we're going to talk about in our next segment. I want to say to our listeners, you have just gotten a snapshot of what I believe to be that new breed that God is raising up in this season to reach the world with the message of Christ. And so stay tuned, because we'll be back in our next broadcast with Charlie P. He's already agreed to do a part two with me. And I know it is going to be a blessing. Listen, I want you to know something. If you need to reach me, You can find me on Instagram at true_journey, as well as on Twitter. And then you can also find me on Facebook under Juliet Davis or Juliet Davis Ministries. I want to hear from you. I love to engage our listeners, and many of you have sent some wonderful things to me about what the show has done for you. So keep those emails coming. My email address is destinyempower@gmail.com. Thanks so much for tuning into The Living Room, the place where real conversations are life-changing. Again, I'm your host, Juliet Davis. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay safe. Know that God is in charge, and we look forward to worshiping and fellowshipping and talking with you again. God bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Chat and Chuckle with Key to Keep. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Thank you so much. You all could have been anywhere, but you all decided to tune in, and I just want to say thank you so much. I pray that you all have had a blessed week so far. And listen, if anybody out there wants to send me a shout-out, if you have a prayer request or you just want to say, hey, Keto, what's up? I like what you're doing. Definitely, by all means, you can do so. You can contact me via email. That's lovetomakeyoulaugh@yahoo.com. Or you can follow me on social media. I am on Facebook as well as Instagram. And I am on social media as Key to Keep. That is KETTAKEET. I definitely would love to hear from you. Now, listen, I know usually I have a lot of chuckle on Chat and Chuckle, but tonight we're going to have a little more chat than chuckle. We'll probably have a few chuckles during this time, but definitely want to do more chatting than chuckle tonight. And just kind of want to touch base on what is going on around us and going on with us right now, okay? It's no secret that we are definitely under quarantine. Things have been on lockdown. Things have been shut down due to the pandemic that's happening right now due to the COVID-19 outbreak pandemic. And I know that during this time things are, you know, a little concerning, for lack of a better word, for many people. But there's one thing that a couple of things I want to address tonight as it pertains to us being on quarantine, us being on lockdown, and things like that. I just really want to talk about tonight
the things that God has kind of been showing me during this time. And I'm pretty sure you all, several of you all, have also have had these moments where, you know, that you've gone and you've prayed and you talked to God and, you know, just trying to get a better understanding of what's going on during this time. It's definitely a time of uncertainty. You know, we listen to the news, we're listening to the media, we're reading things on social media, and a lot of times the information that we get may not necessarily be accurate, may not be valid, and it's so much information coming all at one time. So I just believe that during this time it's definitely important for us to be putting our ears to God's lips, for lack of a better term, for us to definitely put in our ears to God's lips and just seeing what God is telling us, is speaking to us during this time. For some people, he may be telling us to rest. I know definitely that is what, you know, what he has showed me during this time is a time to rest, but a time to rest in him. For others, this may be a time to run, meaning that project that you've had worked on and maybe put on hold. Maybe it's time to pick that thing back up again, that business that you need to start, clothing line, makeup line, going back to online school, whatever it is that he told you to run with, maybe this is the time to run. So whatever he's telling you to do, you know, just make sure that you have your ears to God's lips. But this is what I kind of want to talk about, and I said that just want to talk about the things that God has been showing me during this time. First of all, we want to start with just a couple of facts, you know, during this time, things that we are experiencing this season. Okay, and now I looked up the word quarantine, which, of course, that is a word that all of us have been hearing over and over and over and over again. I've never heard this word so many times in all of my life during this short period of time. It's a word that we're constantly hearing, constantly seeing all the time. So I looked up the word quarantine. And the word quarantine actually means a period of 40 days, okay? Now, that number 40 is very significant. You know, we've been hearing, you know, we hear that number often, especially throughout scriptures. I actually looked up this fact here, and you can actually Google these facts as well. The number 40 is mentioned 146 times in the scripture. And the number 40 symbolizes a period of testing, trial, and probation. Okay, if there ever was a time or a period of testing, trial, and probation, I believe it's right now. So we are definitely in a period of testing, trial, and probation. And I'm going to tell you this. I can definitely relate to this because I am 40 years old. And yeah, and ever since I turned 40, I have been tested and tried on several levels. So just so you know, again, just want to reiterate, the number 40 symbolizes a period of testing, trial, and probation. I also found this interesting because, of course, when you read the scriptures in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, it talks about Jesus fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was also tempted by Satan. Now, this was interesting. At the mountain of temptation, which is also called Mount Quarantania. I want to make sure I'm saying this right. Mount Quarantania. I found that very interesting. This is the hill in the Judean desert where Jesus was tempted by Satan in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. So I found that very interesting that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in Matthew 4, 1 through 2, and the hill in the Judean desert where Jesus was tempted by Satan is called the Mount of Temptation, also called Mount Quarantania. Very interesting. So that number 40 is very significant as it pertains to the scriptures. Okay, now, as I also did some more research, and I'm, you know, just kind of seeking God on some things during this time that we, you know, that we've definitely been at home. And I told you that God showed me, for me, this was the time to rest, but to rest in Him as well. He also showed me this. Now, what is interesting about what I'm about to say is that the way God showed me this particular thing that I'm about to speak of was, it was almost like a aha moment, if I could use that term. But I'll explain it like this. So once the order came through from our governor saying that churches could no longer congregate with more than 10 people. My church, and shout out to City Church, I love y'all and I miss y'all so much, but my church implemented what is called iChurch. And actually, we've already had implemented this ministry before. But we now have iChurch, where we can stay in the privacy of our own home, and we bring the church to you, you know, right in the privacy of your own home. And so the first Sunday that we were actually implementing iChurch at the start of the quarantine, you know, when we could not congregate anymore in the church building, something happened where there was like a technical difficulty, and the service was beginning, and something just happened, you know, with the system. And basically, it was almost like the system had reset. And once the system had reset, everything started working great. And we had no more hiccups, no more buffering or anything like that. And it was just awesome. But literally, it seemed like the system had to be reset in order for everything to work properly. And I mean, it worked. It was just awesome. And I remember saying, you know what, there's nothing wrong with the reset. And God immediately told me, I am resetting all systems. And right then and there, it was, okay, Lord, I'm listening, because that was definitely for me. That was something that He was showing me during this time. God is definitely resetting systems. The economic system, the education system, our religious system. Systems are being reset during this time. So I want to talk about some of the things that that God has shown me in these different systems and how they're being reset. And I want to share these things with you to encourage you, because I do know that many of us are home, and we're trying to figure out what is happening, and when things are uncertain, we're getting all of this information. But I do just want to come and encourage you to let you know that God is answering prayers, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we see around us. God is answering prayers. God has us, and He's awesome, and He is just showing Himself strong during this time. Amen. So just want to touch on some things real quick as far as systems, the ecosystem. And this was a fact that I found out doing research, and you can definitely check behind me. You can definitely go and research this yourself. But this was a fact that I found dealing with what I call the ecosystem. According to NASA, there was a significant decrease in nitrogen dioxide over China during China's lockdown. Nitrogen dioxide is emitted by cars, power plants, and construction machinery, and it has a negative effect on people's respiratory systems. So during the time of China's lockdown due to the coronavirus pandemic, there was a very large decrease in their air pollution of nitrogen dioxide. It was extremely significant. The satellites, NASA satellites actually showed, was able to do a view of how significant the decrease was. okay, education system. And I just thought that was really interesting, interesting fact, because that was something I had never heard of, not realizing how tremendous the air pollution was over there. Now to see, due to the lockdown, that it had decreased significantly. Okay, getting to the education system. Schools have been completely shut down. Kids, usually they'd be in school taking exams, taking tests, and things like that. We have seniors graduating during this time, but schools have been shut down due to this pandemic. But this is the one thing that I have seen during this time. Technology has allowed teachers to be able to teach and interact with their students online. Awesome. Okay, so that was one way of being able to of teachers and teachers. I'm so sorry, y'all. I think I might need a teacher right now. Teachers to instruct their students via online. Also, during this time, parents are able to work and spend more time with their, with their children and with their families during this time as well. So that is the education system. There has been a significant change in the education system. All right. The economy system, the world system, definitely has been a huge change dealing with our economy. With people, yes, people have definitely lost their jobs. Businesses have closed during this time, and I do just want to say that I am praying for those who have unfortunately have lost their jobs and businesses have closed as well. But just talking about this particular system, one thing that I have seen is that people are now able to work from home. There has been a large number of people who are now able to do the same job that they were doing at a call center or wherever, in an office or wherever the case may be, and they're now able to do that same job from home, which in turn they are saving on gas, saving on car insurance, saving on maintenance, saving on being stuck in traffic in the mornings and even coming home, which means stress levels may have decreased because they're not spending all of that time being on the road, going back and forth to work. They're actually in the privacy of their own home, comfortable in their own homes, and are able to be productive, if not more productive, because they are working from home. For those who have lost their jobs, people are now eligible for unemployment benefits. People are receiving stimulus checks during this time. There are all types of other financial assistance that is coming during this time as well. Even I've seen there are some businesses that are hiring, hiring people. They're in need of people. So those are some other things that the Lord has shown me. And lastly, addressing systems, want to address the religious system or religion system. We are the church. And the way we do church has significantly changed. Church buildings are now closed. Yeah. Services are being held online via internet, church apps, or websites. Some churches are having drive-in services. And even if the churches are open, no more than 10 people can meet at a time. So even the way we do church has now totally changed. Okay? But like I said, I want to reiterate, we are the church. It's not the church building. We are the church. So getting back to the point of churches may still be open, but no more than 10 people can meet together, okay, which is, in my opinion, still great because according to Matthew 18:20, it says, where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. So even in this, we are still ahead of the ball game. Now, of course, when you know, if you're still meeting and it's no more than 10 people, you know, of course, you still have to practice social distancing, but you're still able to meet. And according to Scripture, it's still biblical because it says we're two or three. Well, you have 10. We're ahead of the ball game. So even in this, God is showing himself strong. Even in everything that is going on around us, God is still showing himself mightily. And this is the time, like I said, for us to be putting our ears to God's lips to hear exactly what he has to say, the things that he wants us to do during this time. So that is bringing me to my last point when I talked about social distancing. Now, of course, we definitely have heard that term throughout the quarantine. As a matter of fact, I had never heard of this term until now, social distancing. So just want to give a quick definition of this. I know everybody knows what it is because we've all been practicing it, but just for research purposes, social distancing or physical distancing is a set of non-pharmaceutical interventions or measures taken to prevent the spread of contagious disease. Okay? Actually, social distancing was practiced in the Bible, in Leviticus, I believe it's chapter 13:46, where it talks about anyone who had leprosy or a skin disease, they had to be separated from the camp for a certain period of time until they were cured of the disease, or until they no longer had the disease. But they had to actually social distance themselves from everyone else so no one else would get it, or they were considered unclean. So they had to social distance themselves or physically distance themselves from the rest of the camp until they were healed of the disease. But there's also one point in particular that I want to bring to your attention as well. Jesus also practiced social distancing, quote-unquote social distancing. And no, he didn't practice it to stay away from people who had disease. In fact, he would heal those with leprosy. So he didn't want to stay away from those people. He actually wanted to heal them. But this is how he practiced social distancing, and that is actually found in Luke, and I'm going to actually go to the scripture, Luke chapter 5, and this is from the Passion Translation. And I want to start with verse 12 and end at verse 16. And it says, one day while Jesus was ministering in a certain city, he came upon a man covered with leper sores. When the man recognized Jesus, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet and begged to be healed, saying, if you are only willing, you could completely heal me. Jesus reached out. This is all verses 13 through 14. Jesus reached out and touched him and said, of course I am willing to heal you, and now you will be healed. Instantly, the leper's sores were healed, and his skin became smooth. Jesus said, tell no one what has happened, but go to the priest and show him you've been healed. And to show that you are purified, make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded. You will become a living testimony to them. Verse 15. After this miracle, the news about Jesus spread even farther. Massive crowds continually gathered to hear him speak and to be healed from their illnesses. Verse 16. But Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. So I want to focus on verse 16. Jesus often slipped away from them and went into the wilderness to pray. To me, that was a form of Jesus social distancing or physical distancing himself from the crowd, because after all of the healing and things that he did in town, he knew that he had to slip away to pray. He had to go back to God and get refilled from the works that he had previously done. So even he knew he needed to social distance himself from the crowd, go somewhere quiet and pray, and so he could rest. But he was not just physically resting, but he was resting in the Father. He was getting instructions from the Father, and he knew that he could not do that effectively if he was around the crowd. Amen. So that showed me that even Jesus, our Lord and Savior, practiced social distancing so he could receive a word from his Father and rest in him. So this is what I want to say as I end tonight. I want to encourage everyone who is listening that, yes, what you see, with our physical eyes, some things are uncertain, some things are questionable. If we look with our physical eyes, if we hear with our natural ears, the things that that happen on the news, what we read on social media, if we look with our natural eyes, what we read on social media, it can look uncertain. However, comma, which is like is my favorite phrase. However, comma, when we look with our spiritual eyes and we hear with our spiritual ears, and we put our ears to the lips of God, and when we go to him, when we social distance ourselves from all of that, from the news, social media, the distractions and things like that, and we can social distance ourselves from that, go to God our Father and rest in him, rest during this time, so we can hear clearly from God and get our instructions from God. So when this thing passes, we'll know what we need to do. So I just want to encourage you all, don't look at this as just being at home and being bored and not knowing what to do and just can't get out or anything like that. And don't just go by what you always see and hear with your natural eyes, with your natural ears. But this is the time to really be in tune to God, be in tune to Holy Spirit, ask for guidance, ask what should I be doing during this time of rest, of this quarantine. You know, this is the time. So I just want to encourage you all with that. I'm going to go ahead and just wrap this up. I just want to thank you so much for tuning in tonight. You could have been anywhere else, but you chose to tune in tonight, and I just want to say I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much, and I pray that you all have a blessed weekend. Be safe, and I love you. Good night.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.